Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can,
and wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. And there are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Vic, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name is Vic, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vic.
Well, nice to be here on a lovely sunny morning like this. My story started quite early. At school, I was the country boy, and all the other kids in class were from town, so I felt a little bit different. And during those formative years, I just needed to be accepted, and I was a bit of a smart guy and liked to crack jokes, so I very quickly took over the role as the class clown, and I thought if I could make people laugh, you know, they would like me. And the problem was that my dad was in the military, and we were never at any one station for any more than about 2 years. So every time I was about to break into a social group, we'd be off to another place, and I'd have to do it all over again. As a result, I always felt a little bit different until I was 14 years old. And that was one night, a friend of mine came over with another guy, and he had a bottle of Jim Beam and some orange juice, and we got drunk. My parents were out of town for the weekend. I had that first drink, and I felt like all my Christmases had come at once, and Jim Beam was Santa Claus. It was like my present was the fact that suddenly I felt connected to everyone and everything. I didn't have to think about all the things that had happened in the past, and I didn't have to worry about whether I was going to be accepted in the future. I was just right in the now, and that was a real great place. So I picked up this habit. Well, it wasn't a habit. I didn't realize it was a disease. I just realized that it was what I needed. In fact, the first time I got drunk, I guess you could say I was an early morning drinker from the first time, because we drank until about 2 a.m. So, you know, my drinking went from 8 o'clock past midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., a couple of hours in the morning, early morning drinker. Woke up with a bit of a hangover, but I really enjoyed that sensation, and I chased that sensation for the next 40 years in one form or another. I went through university, and the beer was there, and it was a party time, and it was all great sort of stuff, gridiron football games, get drunk on Saturday afternoon after the game. And then I went to work eventually in San Francisco for an ad agency, and that was more drinking after work and so on and so forth. So I guess I served my apprenticeship in alcoholism during those late teenage years and my early 20s. In the end, though, I knew something was wrong. I didn't have a desire to stop drinking. I loved drinking, but I felt something was still missing. And I decided that what was missing was a feeling of connectedness to my country. The Vietnam War was on, so I thought, well, you know, I think I'll bail out and go somewhere overseas where they speak English, and we'll just see how things settle down. If there isn't World War III, it'll all be cool. Well, I moved to New Zealand, and of course, people in New Zealand drank beer, so I thought I was still in paradise. I switched eventually into maintenance drinking, where it was just a little bit, not too much. I'd go over the top on the weekends, this, that, and the other. And that pretty well, you know, I kept a front like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I was two people. There was the me that I presented to my staff at work, and I tried to present to other people. But I was really basically emotionally unavailable to my kids, my wife. And it's ironic that they call it spirits that we drink, because my spirits that I was drinking sucked the spirit right out of me. And in the end, I had very little spirit at all. In fact, I was, as they say, stupid, boring, and glum. The jokes had gone. After a while, my kids went. My wife went. Other things started to happen. I began to lose my jobs. I began to make really bad financial decisions. And eventually, I was pretty much left all alone, except for alcohol. And then I got really stuck into it. In the end, what happened, though, was that I had to see a doctor. And the doctor told me that it's not normal to have blood in your urine. And they did some tests and decided that I had a very bad disease of the kidneys and the liver. And if I didn't change my ways, I would probably die within the next 2 years. Well, that was a big wake-up call. I didn't want to die. I didn't know what to do. I still had the desire to drink, and it was driving me now to 24/7 drinking, blackout drinking, lots of it every day. And somebody suggested AA. And I came into these rooms, and I suddenly realized that there were people just like me who had the same kind of backgrounds emotionally and feelings of despair, grief, loneliness, anxiety, anger, rage, all the emotions that I'd had when I tried to get rid of them by drinking. They'd had these things too, but they had solved them somehow, and they seemed to be quite happy and pleasant. They were living lives without alcohol. How the heck could I do that? And they said, well, if you want what we have, Vic, do what we do. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just hang around for a while and see what it is that they do. And it's about that point that I realized I had stopped growing emotionally when I was about 14 years old. These were mature people, a lot of them in good recovery. And I learned an awful lot by just going to meetings almost every day for the first year I was in AA. And suddenly, I began to start to look forward to going to those meetings. I met people. I made some friends. And I realized that the solution wasn't for me just to stop drinking. The solution was for me to adopt a new way of thinking. That was the 12-step program. We heard that there's a pill that you can take that will change your way of thinking. Well, there isn't one. Doctors have never been able to prescribe a pill that would change my insanity to some kind of a sober life. Well, in the end, what did change it was working the 12-step program. I looked into the past. I took apart all the defects of the characters that I had, and some of them were okay. I had a sponsor that guided me through that, and in the end, I realized that I could clean up some of the mess that I'd left behind me, the chaos and all the incidents and the people that I'd abandoned and thrown away and stuff like that, if I could recognize and own up to the damage I'd done. I did that. By making amends eventually after about a year. And in fact, my ex-wives forgave me. I'd been married a couple of times. My children, most of them, forgave me. And a lot of the people that I made amends to didn't basically say, go away, I don't want to hear about it, I've heard this before. That's what I thought they'd do. They said, well, good for you, Vic. You know, we were really worried about you, but you look totally different now. And welcome back to the real world. Okay, so I'm in the real world. There's problems in the real world, I know. But I have learned from the other people in the AA program how to deal with those problems and you know, really basically get out of myself and start thinking about other people, because the people in this program saved my life. And that, to me, was a miracle. And I don't particularly believe in a God, but I do believe in a new higher power, and that's the AA program. Because this program has power over alcohol, and I see it all around me in the people in this fellowship that are in good recovery. So I traded my old higher power, which was Jim Beam, for a new higher power, which was the AA 12-step program. And life is pretty good now, and so I hope everybody has a very pleasant sort of a day on a sunny day like this. I don't think the program's going out live. We're probably going to play it on a day where it's stormy and rainy and everything. But even then, it's a great day to be alive, because the best day, the worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. I heard that before and I never believed it. I thought it was just an advertising gimmick, you know, like if you want to sell a used car, you tell them anything. But the fact that the transmission is shot. Well, I'll tell you what. In this program, nothing is shot. It really works, and it's, you know, 50, 60 years old, and I can't find fault with it. It found fault with me, and it corrected them. So I'm very grateful to be an alcoholic in recovery. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vic. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we had members of our fellowship in sharing their experience, strength, and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Linda, do you want to share?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Hi, good morning. My name is Linda, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Linda.
Thank you, Vic. That was great sharing. And I also feel very grateful to be in this fellowship and around this program, as I have been for about the last 6 or 7 years. Gratitude was something I woke up this morning with. Had a lot to do with the weather, but it also had a heck of a lot to do with remembering what it used to be like when I'd wake up in the morning. Because every morning when I wake up, I just feel so clear-headed. I feel so grateful. I've got a reasonable amount of self-esteem, not too much. I've always got to keep my ego in check. But it's a wonderful feeling these days, just waking up. I spent many, many years waking up and just feeling so ashamed and just wondering, asking myself, why did I have all those drinks last night? You know, it was just such a long, lonely journey for me before I became sober. My background was perfectly wonderful, great upbringing, made lots of friends at school. I had a really lovely life. My parents adored me. I had a beautiful sister. But it just kind of came upon me that alcohol was a nice escape from reality. And I think growing up in New Zealand, it's a fairly common conversation. You know, let's go out for a drink, let's do this, let's meet up at 5 o'clock and have a drink. And I would end up thinking by about midday, whew, I wonder where I'm going to get my, you know, where am I going to go for a drink tonight? What am I going to do tonight for a drink? You know, it just became, my whole life started to revolve around it. And that was okay until I noticed that I wasn't putting the drink down when other people were. And I didn't really worry about it. I thought, oh, I'll deal with that tomorrow. Got married, had children. And this continued to go on. We'd get together as a group of girls with our young children and have drinks in the afternoon and have a lovely time. And the girls would go and take their children home. But would I stop drinking? No. Did I worry about it? No. But ultimately, I started to detect just too much of a modus operandi, too much of a continual situation where I was doing the same things over and over again. And I started to do things like not admit to myself and not admit to my family that I was actually drinking more than them. I was the sort of girl that would go out to a restaurant and everybody else's glasses were still full. And I say, why aren't they filling my glass up? I know why they weren't filling my glass up, because I'd already drunk it and they hadn't finished drinking theirs. But, you know, you start to imagine, you know, you start to, well, I did, I should say. I started to imagine that there were just other people that were exactly the same as me. I couldn't quite figure out that it was me that had a problem. And then the hangovers got more and more frequent. and blackouts became more frequent. And my relationship with my friends started breaking down because they'd say to me, you know, Linda, God, it was a bit tough last night what you said to so-and-so, and I just pretend that I remembered what it was, you know, but I didn't actually remember, and I'd make up some excuse and just dust it under the carpet and say, oops, I better not drink so much anymore in the future. And this went on for a number of years. My marriage broke down. Very typical story of alcoholics. My marriage broke down. My children were quite grown up by this stage, but they just sort of stood to one side. You know, it was my life. I had to make my own decisions. And I ended up being a pretty lonely, drunk woman until I came across a woman who had written a book. And it was a book. It just read just like me. And I don't know how it happened, but I ended up going to an AA meeting. And I don't know how this happened, but that woman who wrote the book happened to be there. And this was a gift for me, you know, because I looked at this woman and I could hear what she'd said in the book, and she sounded a lot like me. I wasn't in this alone. There were other people who had experienced the same kind of drinking problems that I had. I thought it was exclusively mine. I thought I just had no willpower. I thought I just had no self-control. I just thought that I was just a useless, hopeless, pathetic woman who couldn't keep my life under control. She introduced me to other people in this AA fellowship, and I started to recognize similarities in what they had to say as well. Wow, this for me was just a revelation. It was an absolute revelation. So I started going to meetings. I went to a rehab and I learned, let's say, the tricks of the trade. And that was a real eye-opener for me too, because it was a bit of a crash course in AA, I suppose. It was like going to a meeting 24/7, pretty much. Every waking hour was like having a meeting, and I met lots of people who would come in who had long sobriety and teach me about the ways of AA, totally from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and talking constantly about the 12 steps. And I started to recognize, in the 4 weeks that I was in a rehab, I started to recognize various traits that I used to have. You know, I'd wake up in the morning and think, wow, just like I felt this morning, this is a nice day. Wow, that person was really nice to me yesterday. You know, I started to do things, people started to do things for me in a very short space of time. And that's how my life has progressed from there on in. I honestly find that as long as I continue to do what has been suggested to me, no one demands anything of me, no one tells me I have to do it or they'll never speak to me again. It's just what is suggested. And if I do the suggested things on a daily basis, I find that my day is very, very calm. It's very, very happy. I see people that are in a similar frame of mind to me. I still mix and mingle with all my friends. I haven't, you know, this hasn't completely changed my life, that I, you know, I no longer fraternize or socialize with people from another life. But I do recognize that I need to maintain regular contact with people in sobriety. I love going and helping people who are new in sobriety, because I've got the experience now of being 3.5 years sober, of being able to explain to them what it was like for me, and certainly what it was like for me then and what it's like for me now is like a whole new story. I am just so, so happy that I bothered to take this big step. It's an easy program, this program of AA. We tend to make it, or I tended to make it, pretty difficult. You know, I was trying to find all the reasons why I wasn't alcoholic. But once I admitted to myself that I was powerless over alcohol, I became willing to learn how to live my life without alcohol. Not a day goes by that, you know, sometimes I think, gosh, be nice to go and have a glass of wine or something like that. But I just dismiss it immediately on the basis that I've never had this consistent level of of comfort and serenity that I have now. And you know what makes it really worthwhile too? That people I haven't seen for years walk up to me in the street and say, wow, Linda, have you just been on holiday or something? You're looking so good. And, you know, I just, that's like a song to me. It just, my heart sings when I hear that, because I know that I don't necessarily look 10 years younger, but I certainly look a whole lot happier. And that for me is one of the beauties of this program. I've found happiness. I've found happiness, and I've found a connection with people who have also found happiness. And that for me is one of the most wonderful things about this fellowship. We're all here in this together, and we're all out there to help each other. And if you think that you might have a problem with alcohol, I can promise you that if you come and join us at AA, just have a listen, don't be frightened, just sit in the back of the room and listen to what we've got to say, I guarantee you'll learn something you haven't learned before. I wish you all the very, very best of luck. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Thanks. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we have members of our fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Joe. Do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name is Joe, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
I just want to start off by saying how grateful I am for the rooms, to be able to meet in an area where you feel safe. And every meeting that I've attended so far, I've felt like the room is a sanctuary to me. It's a room where I feel safe, where I'm around people that I feel safe to be with. And I'm thankful for the people that I am surrounded by, because of the stories that they have and the journeys that they're on. They actually inspire me to be a better person, and they help me in my journey. One thing I've learned is that I listen for similarities and I don't look for differences. I have a mental clipboard in my mind that I tick off every time I hear someone speak, just like this morning. And listening to Vic and Linda, you know, there are things that they're saying that I sort of nodding my head and ticking off in my mind, thinking, yeah, that's me. I've been a functioning alcoholic for probably 30 years, starting when I was into university and really just being free of everything and going along to the local pub there every Friday and just getting absolutely drunk and, you know, waking up on Saturday and going to rugby, and it just became everything for me. I found that, you know, as I grew older, you know, I just had to drink. I had to drink because of the company that I was with, but also because of the comfort that it gave me. I loved my sport, and there were days when I would just play the best that I could. But once I started drinking, the sport became less of a goal for me. I just wanted to get to the end of the game so I could get to the bar and start drinking. It was a pattern that followed me into the workforce. I found myself leaving work and getting drunk by 8 o'clock in the evening. I would turn up to work drunk or hungover. I'd turn up to my rugby games drunk or hungover. I'd even turn up to church drunk or hungover. And that became my pattern for 30 years. I became self-centered. That it was all about me. It wasn't about anyone else. And no one else mattered to me except the friends that I drank with, the people that found me good to be with until the bars closed, and then I just became alone. And that's what alcoholism created for me. It created for me an environment of uncertainty that I really didn't know what I wanted, but I felt the most confident when I had a beer in my hand or a spirit in my hand. Fast forward to 31 days ago when I woke up and thought enough is enough. I'd done so much damage. I'd become self-destructive in my walk with alcohol that I needed to stop. And I remember waking up one morning and going to work hungover, reeking of it. And my boss saying to me, you need to go and fix yourself up or else you're not going to be here. And I didn't really know where to start, and so I was online and I looked for the AA, the closest AA meeting, and sort of booked myself into it. And I remember the first meeting that I attended, got into the car, waited 5 minutes, got back out of the car, went back into the house, walked around, got back into the car and sat in there for another 10 minutes and decided to drive. And when I pulled up to the meeting, I knew that I was skeptical. I knew that if I walk up these steps, you know, I'm just going to sit there and just watch. Yet as soon as I got into the room, the first thing that I thought of was, what am I going to do if I know someone? What am I going to do if someone knows me? I'm just going to turn around and run, because the whole shame factor just consumed me. And I think if you hadn't been to AA before, there's a perception out there that, well, if you go to AA, you're damaged. You know, you must be drunk. But the reality is that when I sat down for my very first meeting, I was nervous as hell. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I just sat and I listened. And by the end of the meeting, I was approached by several people who, you know, welcomed me and said, hey, give me your number. And I thought, well, that's strange. I don't know anyone, but they want my phone number. And so here I am giving my phone number to 6 or 7 different people. And I remember just running out of there because I became so nervous and so anxious and just really overpowered by the whole feeling of that meeting that I thought, I need to go to the pub. It wasn't until one of the guys that was in the meeting came and grabbed me and said, hey, let's go for a coffee. And so I said, yeah, okay, well, look, I'll entertain this for a little bit. Went for a coffee. And he really just talked about it from a personal level. And I thought, okay. So I thought I'd give it another go. And the next day I went to the same meeting. Different people. But what started to really resonate with me was their messages, their experiences. And that's really when I started to tick off things in my mind, thinking, yeah, that was me. Now, I remember that. I had a giggle thinking, yeah, I remember stumbling into the house, you know, and just lying down on the floor as soon as I'd closed the door. And thought to myself, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. And so after the first week, I still was pretty skeptical. And in that first week, I shared. But I held a lot back because I wasn't prepared to share with a whole bunch of strangers. I didn't want to bare my soul to people that I didn't even know. And yet, there I was. The second week was a little bit better. And by Wednesday of the second week, I decided, if I really want to commit to this, and I need to surrender totally, I need to just be totally honest and true. Because my life had been a lie right up until then. I had just been living a lie, being pretentious with everyone, thinking that, you know, that was my life. Now my life is about redemption. It's about understanding that my goal is to remain sober. And I love being sober because, just like today, it's just a brand new day, and I live for today. And so if anyone wants to come to AA, you can come with me, and I'll just show you just how beautiful that experience can be.
Thanks, Joe. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And members of our fellowship have been sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the whole country. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. So, you know, if you've identified and you'd like to do something, we highly recommend that you come along to a meeting, sit in the back and have a listen, and we'll make you feel very, very welcome. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.